What's up and welcome back to another episode of the Pickleball Connection. I'm Barrett.
And I'm Danae, and we're super excited to be hanging out with you guys today. Today we're going to be doing a CTN episode, which stands for Cruise the News. This is where we check out all the latest news in pickleball, funny forum posts, and all the entertaining pickleball topics. So let's get into it.
Hey, real quick before we jump in, we just want to mention Selkirk's Nets. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting in pickleball, Selkirk has the best nets available. Not only are they the preferred net of the PPA Tour, but there are many options for all pickleball levels. If you're just starting out and wanting to grab a pickleball net, go to selkirk.com/collections/nets to find the best nets on the market. Okay, jumping right in today, we are going to start with a thread I found on Reddit. I don't know about you, but I'm really getting into Reddit lately. I've never been much of a Reddit guy, but man, there's some entertaining stuff on there.
Dude, it's straight up unfiltered on Reddit. I love it.
So I was kind of scrolling back, looking through some pickleball forum posts on Reddit, and I came across a couple different threads of pickleball pet peeves. Now, these threads date back, some of them to 2 years ago, some of them to 7 months ago, some of them to 30 days ago, but all of them have really good engagement and people really get into talking about pickleball pet peeves. What I learned is that people have a lot of pet peeves when it comes to pickleball.
I feel it. I understand.
So we're going to get in. I'm going to read off some of these pet peeves people have and kind of get your response.
Okay.
But first, I want to know, do you have any pickleball pet peeves?
Oh, I got pet peeves. I got pet peeves.
Lay them on me.
Okay. Well, for one, this is going to ruffle some feathers, but a big pet peeve I have playing mixed is when people automatically want to stack. And I'm like, maybe I don't want to stack.
Oh, so you think that there's like an assumption.
Oh.
If you're playing a mixed game.
I think there's an assumption?
I mean, even if you don't, like, so let's say you're playing with a guy you don't really know.
Yeah, like we're talking rec play.
And he just automatically feels like he should dominate with his forehand in the middle.
Yes.
And he doesn't even ask you, he just assumes.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I don't know, because we like play together a lot. And so we kind of like have talked about it. And I know that you like playing on the right.
Well, it's not about liking playing on the right. It depends what kind of play we're doing. If we're at rec play and like, it doesn't matter. We're not at a tournament. That's right. My issue. So like rec play, I'm like, I want to play both sides. I obviously want to get better at both sides. And just because I'm a female doesn't mean I always have to play the right side. It bothers me. What bothers me is, you know, I'm not a pro level player by any means, but I do play at a high level. And so there's a lot of times I'll play with guys who I'm like, honestly, just better than, and then I get stuck on the right side.
Aha, uh-huh. There it is. There
no, it seriously, is. I cannot be the only female that experiences this.
Yeah, I bet you're not. So for those of you that are listening, if you're a guy, maybe don't assume that the female wants to stack.
Yeah, just ask.
Yeah.
That's
a good one.
That would solve it.
That's a good one. So
it's a little spicy. I feel a little spicy today.
I wanna get into some of these pet peeves because some of them are hilarious. Okay. But I'm gonna start by reading, just kind of set it up. I'm gonna start by reading the guy that originated this post. He says, "Pickleball pet peeves? ? I'll start. One of my biggest pet peeves is regulars at open play who never bring balls and expect others to have them. The worst offenders are the ones who forget to return your ball."
Oh yeah.
So this is kind of so. Is that annoying to you?
Dude, this is, you know this. We got a whole thing of balls, like, and you guys know balls can add up quickly. And I made you, I would say we can only play with these if we have our initials on them. Do you remember
that?
Yeah. The Sharpie.
We got to get the Sharpie out and write our initials on them before we can take them out.
Because it made me mad because people would steal them.
At first, I didn't really like it, but I started to catch on that you have to be careful. Your balls will run away from you. On the pickleball court.
Oh, they don't run. They are taken.
They're taken. There. Sometimes maybe if you're not careful, they drift onto another court and somebody just assumes they're like free, you know?
I know.
I feel it for this. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read some more of these pet peeves, and I want you to rank them on a scale of 1 to 10. 10, okay. 10 being, this is the most annoying thing ever, and 1 being like, that's not pet peeve at all.
I like this game. Let's do it.
Okay.
Give me a couple, just a few.
So the first one, pet peeve or not, scale of 1 to 10, partners who expect you to read their mind.
I mean, I don't really know if I experience that, if I'm being honest.
So like the way that it's written here is that, you know, somebody says they expect you to know who's got the middle ball. It's kind of this whole thing where a partner expects you to know what they're thinking without communicating. Because I know communication's a big one for you. You like to communicate.
I love to communicate. Here's the deal though. Like in a tournament, that would probably be really upsetting to me. In rec play, when you're playing with a bunch of different people, I think I have a lot more grace. I will say, if it's coming from you, who we play a lot together, I do expect communication.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, 1 to 10, 10 being annoying, 1 being not annoying. This person says, it annoys me when people call the score like 5-5 on the 2.
Dude, I love that stuff. I freaking live that. I live for a PB joke.
So what this guy's referring to is instead of calling 5-5-2, you'd say 5-5.
For the score.
5-5 on the 2.
Dude, I love that stuff. This guy is a classic like old person.
This guy's clearly annoyed, and there's like people in the threads like, yes, I don't know. It's so annoying why people can't just call the score correctly.
It's the dad jokes. I live for it. Big dad joke fan.
That's hilarious. Okay.
So one for that.
So one. Okay. Scale 1 to 10, annoying or not. When your partner gives unsolicited advice almost between every point.
That's a 10. This 11 maybe.
So like, do you like feedback on the court?
It depends on how it's given, I guess.
So obviously you don't like feedback from someone that's not good. But like, let's say you're playing with someone really good.
Oh, well then it's different, I think. If I'm playing with a pro, like let's say I'm playing a game with Susanna Barr and she tells me, hey, you should really do this. Guess what? I'm going to listen to Susanna Barr. If I'm playing with Betty, who is a 2-5 at a random park, I'm not there.
Yeah. Okay. I feel that. Yeah. But like for me, I don't know what it is. I like receiving feedback like after the game, you know, like for me, like I don't like the in-game like advice, even if it's like a good tip or even if they are like a lot better than me. I just like rather wait till after the game, you know?
Yeah. I hear that.
All right. I'm going to give you 2 more. These are pretty funny. Okay. So annoying or not, people saying volley when they really mean rally, as in we had a good volley going.
I kind of love that. I've never experienced that, but that's funny.
I've heard people say that.
I would say 1. I don't care. That's funny to me.
It is pretty funny, but I've heard people like it's a long rally, and they're like, "Oh, that was such a good volley." Precious. It is. But this person, Reddit handle Boozy Slush Pops,
cute.
Really annoyed when people say volley when they mean rally.
All right, noted.
Okay, what about this one here?
Last one, right?
Yeah, this is the last one. Oh, this one's good. Biggest pet peeve is the Karen at our court who thinks she runs everything.
Mm.
So this guy's or girl referring to some lady at their court named Karen, and people are in the comments like, "Ugh, we all have one."
Dude, yeah.
We all have a Karen who thinks they run everything.
Yeah. I've gotten into it with our Karen here and there.
I know. I was going to see if you would touch on that.
I'm embarrassed.
Just give the spark notes and then we'll move on.
I'm not. I feel like I'm divulging very vulnerable, deep secrets here.
Just be vague.
All right. So, you know, like we said, that there's always that one person that runs the court. And here's the thing. I actually appreciate some of them because some of them keep the things running and they're really kind. But sometimes you have like a mean one. You know what I mean? And like, that's court, my issue.
But court police.
Yeah. Like that's my issue. I'm like, I don't I don't care if you're trying to keep the peace or trying to keep things running, but just like be nice, you know, be nice. So yeah,
there's been a couple of times where
there's been a couple incidents where I've been drilling with, you know, my drilling partner, and we've had our, you know, court police come up, and she just was rude in the delivery of things. Like, that was literally my issue. Nothing. It wasn't the context. It wasn't whatever. And it was kind of came up like, hey, you know, we have people waiting, which was funny to me because there were two other courts of people, A, drilling, and B, playing singles. So technically not all the courts are full, but she only wanted our court to leave. So I didn't really, we kind of brought that up and she didn't like that. And she was really mean. She was like, you need to be off. And nobody else did. And so we kind of brought that to her attention that it didn't feel really fair. Again, it's different if the rule is a rule across the board, but I just was confused at why the rule only applied to like our court.
Yeah.
And how this happened multiple days.
Yeah, no, this is actually very applicable too. Like, as I was going through a lot of these pet peeves, you have a lot of people that are either annoyed by how people rotate on and off the court. So like, there's a group of people in this thread and they're annoyed when like somebody gets called for like the next two on, if there's a paddle rack system.
Yeah.
And they're like not ready to go on.
Well, and that was my issue, was I was just like, I don't care if it's a rule. I don't mind doing the rule, but then have it apply to everybody. It just kind of felt like she had it out for us because this had been a multiple time thing where, again, the other situations, there were other courts that weren't doing it, but she wasn't bothered by them. So
Yeah. So it's kind of like people are on both sides. It's good to have a Karen that, you know, really gets things moving on the court, but it can be delivered in the wrong way, or can come across as controlling.
Just be nice is biggest thing. Be nice. And then have the rule apply to everybody. Like, don't have favorites, you know?
Yeah. Anyways, there's a lot more.
We did challenge her to a game that she would not play against us.
Smart. That's another way to do it. You want this court? Come beat me.
No, we literally were like, hey, come play us. And she didn't want to play.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's one way to do it. So, well, there was a lot of, you know, different posts that was pretty funny. You know, we'll try to put the links to some of these articles and forums in the description of the video if you guys want to go check them out. But pretty entertaining just to get lost on Reddit and read about people's pickleball pet peeves. But let's move on.
So this next scenario is another forum post. This one will be really quick. And it again has to do with rec play. Now, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. If it has, you're gonna have to tell me. But basically, this scenario has to do with something called a nasty Nelson. So here's what happened. This person went to go visit local courts. They weren't from the area, and they asked to join a group that was already on court. There were three people there, two ladies and a boy. And I guess it was a mother-son duo that were playing on one side, and then she was playing with the lady on the other side. And so they line up to receive, and the boy, like the son, goes to start the game and serve to this lady's partner, and he ends up nasty Nelsoning her, like in rec play. And if you guys don't know what a nasty Nelson is, it's basically when – so you guys know when serving – in pickleball, you have to serve cross court. A nasty Nelson is when you serve directly, like in front of you, but you hit the player.
You aim for
the player directly in front of you, and you actually get the point that way.
If you hit them.
And so this happened to her in rec play. She got hit by this by the sun, like first point visiting this court for the very first time. And she was like, what do I do in this circumstance? And a bunch of people had a bunch of different opinions. So A, I want to hear what's your opinion on how to handle that situation? And B, have you ever gotten nasty Nelson?
Okay. So my opinion on how to handle that situation, which I'm sure a lot of people probably would agree with me in the comments. I don't know if I've gone through all the comments for this post, but you just got to watch. You got to be alert and realize that there are a few people out there who will try to take advantage of you if you're not watching the serve. So some people, when they're up at the kitchen line, you know, because they're not the one receiving the serve, they get a little lax and maybe they'll turn their body to the side, or maybe they'll look back and they'll kind of, you know, make eye contact with their partner or whatever it be, or watch a ball on the other court, you know. But there are people that will try to hit you. And I would say there's really no way to avoid it except by just being aware that this could happen and remembering that every now and then somebody might try it. So have I been nasty Nelsoned? No. I've not been successfully nasty Nelsoned.
Oh, really?
So okay. I've had someone try it, but I've never been hit by one. Mm-hmm. So I've also tried it 3 times. I've tried to nasty Nelson someone, but I think what's different.
Did it work?
I'm 0-3. So I missed all 3 times. So it's a high risk, high reward thing because if you hit them, you get the point. If you don't hit them, it's like you give a serve away, which is a chance to score. So I wouldn't recommend it strategically, but because I think it's hard.
Here's the other thing. I probably also would never recommend to do that to somebody you don't know. And like just etiquette wise.
That's what I was going to bring up. I think that's what makes this scenario unique is that there's some age discrepancies and they don't really know the other team, or I don't know. So
no, they don't. That she was an out of town visitor.
Yeah, exactly. So
like, that's kind of rude.
That makes this a little sus, you know? So for me, all 3 people I've attempted to nasty Nelson, I've known them well.
Yeah.
And
like your friends. So it's kind of funny if you're friends and
never,
you know,
I've never tried to nasty Nelson a rando, an older
person,
less mobile
seriously.
Person. But I will say the nasty Nelson's kind of difficult to execute. Cause it's like, it runs through my head. Like how hard do you hit it? Like, do you hit it 100%? Because then it's like, you know,
it's like mean.
Then it's mean. And if you don't hit it 100%, like it doesn't get to them fast enough and they can get out of the way. So I usually like the couple times I try, I hit the ball like 60-70%. And it's kind of hard because you have to aim and you have to like hit, you know.
Yeah.
It requires some skill. But there are some, I do know a couple good nasty Nelsoners. Like they're really good at it.
Yeah. So biggest tip, I guess, is definitely know that that's might not be a common thing, but just to watch the person serving, because typically you will have the ability to get out of the way beforehand. And just know that that is technically a legal shot and a legal way to get a point. So just keep that on your radar.
Hey, real quick, before we move on to the next one, do you know how the nasty Nelson, the shot, got its name?
I don't.
So I looked into this and basically back in like 2015, 2014, 2015, basically all the shots in pickleball are named after some guy somewhere that attempted it first. So like the Ernie is named after Perry Ernie. He's like an older guy who started doing the shot a decade ago, you know? So the nasty Nelson is also a guy who was known to be a little edgy on the court.
I assume so.
And I think his name was Tim Nelson. I looked up a picture of the guy. You'd expect him to be kind of like an old, mean guy. He actually looks like he's straight out of like an 80s or 90s like rap video.
I kind of love that.
He looks like a nasty Nelson. Like he's wearing like a couple pictures I saw of him. He's wearing like a chain and he's got like, you know, a big beard and sunglasses on. And he's like actually kind of young, which is kind of funny to me.
I love that.
He's just kind of like this.
Love
punk.
That visual.
He's a punk. So
wow, cool. Yeah,
Tim Nelson. Look him up. The originator. Honestly, it's a flex. If I was the originator of the shot, you know, any pickleball shot, that'd be kind of cool. But all right, let's get into the next post. The next thread. This one comes from the Kitchen's Facebook page. Gotta love the Kitchen. Some great entertainment on there. But this actually brings up a very relatable subject, a very relatable topic, something that I was just talking to someone about the other day. So this was posted a couple days ago. It got like almost 500 likes, over like 125 comments within the like first 3 days. So this is what it says. If you get the opportunity to play with better players in open or rec play, here's a couple things to think about. Keep them engaged in the game. If you're playing against a better player who is paired up with a weaker player, don't just go 2-on-1 where you target the weaker player and leave out the better player. Here's why. You're losing out on a great opportunity to improve your own game, Hit balls to the better player and take note of what they do. How are they responding to your shots? How are they beating you? Are they consistently exposing a part of your game that you need to work on? I see so many decent rec players play like it's a tournament and hit every ball to the weaker player and totally leave out the better player. So basically, this guy is actually hitting on the pain point of some of the pet peeves I didn't read earlier, but a lot of people's pet peeves are when people target the weaker player.
Dude, I've been on both sides of this. Like, this is such a legit topic. And I can speak, like, I get both of them. I get both sides. So I remember as a lower level player, like, all you want to do is get better. Like, when you get the pickleball bug and you get bit by that thing, it's like you want to play high level and you want to learn it. And I remember, like, watching higher level and being like, man, like, I really want to play with them. But it was one, really hard to get in games. And two, when you're in games, you're almost in like this panic mode because you're like, oh, like, I don't know.
You kind of have to prove it.
Yeah, you feel know. Like this pressure, you know, but that's how you get better, is you put yourself in situations to play with higher level players. And granted, I feel actually really fortunate that there were some higher level players in my area that were willing to play with me. And I really did use that as a learning opportunity to get better, because when you play with higher level players, you do things that quote unquote worked when you play with people your level or right. below your level. But then you get in those scenarios with higher level players and you're like, wow, that didn't work anymore. Like, whoa, like, I need to switch stuff up. Now, on the other side of things, now being a higher level player and being in scenarios where, you know, lower level players want to play, it is wildly frustrating to play with them and never see a ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, well, what's the point of me being on this court right now? You know, and it just feels like this, you know, they're just picking on my partner. And it's like, my options are A, I literally poach everything from my partner, or B, I just like sit there the entire game.
And it's 2-on-1.
And it's 2-on-1. And my thing is, I'm actually not that person that's going to poach the heck out of the ball in a rec play with a lower level player. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, I just want people to play. But it does put a bad taste in my mouth, and I don't want to play with those lower level players anymore.
Yeah. And to this guy's point, you know, there's a difference in this being like a tournament and,
yes, and absolutely
rec play, right? And at some point, you know, we obviously get the practice like you play, you know, go to play rec play like you would play in a tournament. There's that aspect. But on the other side, you know, it's not a tournament. And so there are opportunities to get better. And I agree with this guy that one of the best ways to get better is like, oh, the drop shot that was very successful on like the 3-5 court, it gets dominated on the 4-5-5-0 court, you know? And so like, it actually gives you a metric as to where you stack up. And so this is the issue, and this is what people are talking about in the comments of this post. This is the predicament that pickleball players deal with, is that in order to get better, you have to play better players.
Yep.
But how do you get in games with better players? Because a lot of times better players don't want to play with weaker players. So my question is, if this is how to get better, I mean, here's the thing, 90 to 95% of the pickleball population is in that 3-0 to 3-5 range, you know, maybe 3-0 to 4-0 range. And so people are wanting to make that jump. You know, there's the top half of those people are maybe wanting to jump up to that 4-0, 4-5 level, but they can't seem to get there because they're only playing weaker players. So what do you tell someone? I was literally talking to someone the other day who had this problem. Mm-hmm. They're like, I want to get better, but better players don't want to play with me. So what would you tell someone that's in that situation?
So yeah, and here's the reality, like reality check that I needed to hear as a lower level player. The only way to get better is not just to play higher level players. Like, if you're not out drilling, that is a massive way to get better very fast as a low level player. So if I was a low level player today and I was like, man, I'm not getting into these high level games, I would find another player, my level or even lower than my level, that would be willing to go drill with me because that is going to be the fastest way for me to get better and clean up my shots. There's tons of resources you can look at. YouTube, you can look at playpickleball.com, has a ton of tutorials and different drills to do. That would be my number one tip, is drill consistently. Then when you are out in rec play and you see better players, go ask to see if you can get in a game with them. You know, and if they say no, respect that. But there will be some people that say yes. And when they say yes, really take that as an opportunity to learn. And like we said, don't ice out the weaker player, like hit to everybody. And then at the end of the game, you know, even just asking for feedback, that goes a long way too. You know, when you come into that really humble, like people are honestly so willing to like help. And that's been my experience with, you know, playing in higher level groups. And, you know, I can't express enough, like drill, drill, drill. If you only play rec and you only think the only way to get better is to play higher level players, that's not true. There's a lot that you can do while, yes, seeking out the high level games.
Yeah. And I think just maybe piggybacking off that a little bit, I think one of the main reasons people don't drill and they only want to play is they think drilling isn't as fun as playing. And I'll just say that, like, if you actually learn some games that you can incorporate into your, like mini games that you can incorporate into your drilling sessions, drilling can be a lot of fun.
Dude, I love drilling.
And I think that's a big misconception is, you know, they say that if you want to get better, you need to drill 90% of the time and play 10% of the time. But most people have it flipped. You know, they play 90% or 100% of the time and they drill the other percent of the time. So, you know, if you can just get it in your head that there is a way to drill in a way that's fun, that's really good exercise, it just comes down to finding that person that'll do it with you.
Yeah.
So
I agree. We have a tip. If you guys remember, at the end of every episode, we do a tip of the day. And today's tip, since we were talking about the serve, is going to be on serving. So if you are a beginner or intermediate player, this is a very small tip, but it will make a massive difference in your game. And it has to do with the depth of your serve. I've gotten this question before of, is it better to have a fast serve or a deep serve? And I always say, if you have to pick between one or the other, it's always deep. Do you want to talk about why?
Yeah, I think just very clearly, you know, your pickleball is a game of you know, court positioning. And so if you can keep somebody back, it makes it much harder for them to get to the line, which is where they can apply pressure. And if you hit a very hard serve, but it's a shallow serve, you're inviting them forward. And so anytime you can keep them deep, some of the hardest serves, in my opinion, to return aren't the really hard ones, but they're the ones that are almost loopy
and bounce high.
And they bounce high. So if you want to like get a really good serve and you don't have a lot of power, try to add spin and depth. And I think those are the things that can really affect.
And pro tip, like if you think about even the court and the back of the court, oftentimes when you have that really loopy serve, it bounces very far back and a lot of courts don't have a lot of room in the back court. And so a lot of people get jammed when you hit a really deep kind of loopy serve. So that's just another thing to keep in mind.
Yeah. And then maybe another little side tip that I just thought of, this actually applies to serving and dinking. When you're aiming at a particular location, a lot of people, you know, they get married to this far out wide dink, or even they try to take an angle out wide with their serve. But one of the most effective places that you can actually serve to and dink to is your opponent's inside foot. So a lot of times people will get jammed if you're aiming to your opponent's inside foot. So what that would look like is if I'm serving cross court from right to left and my partner is right-handed, I would actually aim to their left foot. This will force them to either have to decide between hitting a backhand or running around their forehand. So there are some little tips that you can pick up as where to aim when you're serving as well. But guys, moving forward, we are going to continue with this tip of the day in each one of these podcast episodes, but we really want to respond to your questions. So moving forward, as we give these tips, we'd love them to come from a question that we're answering. So feel free to put your questions in the comments below, and we'd love to get to them and answer them toward the end segment of each podcast. Well, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us on today's episode of The Pickleball Connection. We look forward to seeing you on the next one.
And make sure that you like and subscribe so you don't miss us next week.